Good morning, good morning. In 1990, IBM had its most profitable year ever. But by 1993, the computer industry had changed so rapidly that the company was on its way to losing $16 billion. Earnings per share were at minus $3.50 a share. Bill, that's an approximation. IBM was on the watch list for extinction. But then Lou Gerstner was brought in to run IBM. Everyone watched to see what he would do. His predecessor, John Akers, had already cut 35,000 people. So, obviously, people were thinking, what's going on here? They were losing cash rapidly. And because Gerstner had come over from RJR, I thought this was kind of funny in the book, because Gerstner had come over from RJR Nabisco, anticipating more cuts in the corporate culture, the code word for Gerstner was, how many of you have read the book? Code word for Gerstner was the Cookie Monster. I thought that was real cute, you know? But, man, Lou Gerstner was interested in more than cutting costs. His book, which is a hot seller right now, Who Says Elephants Can't Dance, is loaded with tremendous leadership examples. What a man. I would love to meet this man. And you know, since I spent 10 years in that culture, reading about this turnaround has been very, very interesting for me. I enjoy the war stories because I can relate to the vocabulary, you know what I mean? I particularly like to hear about men sitting down and discussing the issues straight up, honestly, and intelligently. There's one story in there which I really identify with. He's trying to get an understanding of what on earth is going on here. And this guy's getting up there, flipping his transparencies on his screen, and he's going one after another. And Gerstner says, wait a minute, do me a favor, will you? Shut off the machine, sit down, and let's just talk. Tell me about your business. What is happening in your business? That's the kind of guy he was. And it was just, I'm not totally through with the book, but what he was looking for, he was looking for that team that was going to take him out of the woods. And he's looking for a team of men with integrity that will say it the way it is. Isn't that great? But men, what I appreciate most about the book, which talks about how Lou Gerstner's leadership, his leadership, gave IBM a second chance, is that it gives me a great entree into telling you this morning about the God of the second chance. Open your scriptures to the book of Jonah, third chapter today. The book of Jonah, the third chapter, Charlie. Okay. Jonah, the third chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Men, throughout all of Scripture, there is a wonderful thread that is woven. And let me tell you what this thread is. Let me describe it by giving you a couple of leaders as examples. Moses, right? Given the incredible privilege of leading God's people out of Egypt to the promised land. They get down there, they're coming out, and they're on the south side of the Sinai Desert. And he stops them. The Lord stops him and he brings Moses up on top of Mount Sinai. and he gives them the Ten Commandments. Moses comes down from the mountain. I don't know how long he was up there. It doesn't tell us exactly. Probably quite a while with the Lord. Finds the people in abject rebellion. His brother Aaron has lost control. They're worshiping the golden calf. Moses smashes the Ten Commandments in anger. He loses it. What does God do? What does God do? He gives us, man, he gave us all a second chance at that time, because we'd be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't we, without the Ten Commandments? He brings them back up on the mountain. He says, come on back up. And in that episode of the second time, he passes in front of Moses and he says, Moses, you're not going to be able to take this, but I'm going to show you my glory. Get inside the cleft of a rock so you don't get the full blast. And he passes in front of Moses, and that is where he gives Moses his name. He says, Moses, let me tell you who I am. I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, full of love and truth. That's where he tells Moses who he is, his name. Man, he's compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's full of love and truth. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. And the classic case in the New Testament is whom? Is who? Who's the classic case? Peter, the natural leader. He's the natural leader. He's the political leader of the 12. There's no doubt about it. He's got a big mouth. Lord, I'll never leave you. And then he goes even to say, even if these guys do, you can count on me. Even if everybody leaves you, you can count on me. Boy, did he dig a hole for himself. And can you imagine, men, how devastated Peter is when the Lord, Luke tells us, the Lord, when at his trial, he turns around, it says, and he looks straight at Peter after the cock crowed three times, the rooster, I should say. The rooster crows three times. Luke tells us Peter goes out and he weeps bitterly. He's devastated. But what does Jesus do after his resurrection? What does he do? He gets with him alongside the Sea of Galilee there. And they have a reunion. Peter's out fishing and the Lord's on the beach early in the morning. And he cooks them a little breakfast, probably a little St. Peter's fish, they call it now. They probably fly him in from Argentina or something. He brings them along the side of the Sea of Galilee. He says, here, let's have some breakfast together. Not only, men, does he forgive him. Not only does he forget what he did. The scripture tells us, you know, he forgets our sins as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. But what does he do, men, to totally restore Peter? What does he do? How does Peter know he's totally restored? He gives him his job back. He gives him his job back. He entrusts him with work to do. Peter got his job back, man. So did Jonah. Peter starts whining. You know the story in the 21st chapter, I think it is, of John. He starts whining. Peter says, you know, do you love me more than these? Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me more than all these people? Lord, you know that I love you. He's whining, you know. The Lord's not interested in that stuff. He says, Peter, he gives him a look that Peter never forgot. This is the final look. Peter, go out and feed my sheep. I don't want to hear about all this sentimentality and this apologies. Go out and feed my sheep. It was obviously the final word, and then Peter never looked back. About 50 days later, he gets up in front of the whole city of Jerusalem at Pentecost, and he is powerful witness for Jesus Christ. Do you need a second chance this morning? God, men, is in the business of restoring his workers. Moses is special, yes. Peter is special. Jonah is special. Jonah is special. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Just what he's told them back in the first chapter. But we're all special. We may be here this morning thinking, I don't have a chance. I have so compromised my life and my witness that I don't have a chance. I give the Lord the leftovers. I give him the leftovers. I don't give him the first cut. I do this with my time. I do this with my talent. And I do it with my treasure. And I do it with my affection. I don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and let the Lord add all these things, throw it in with the deal. I seek the things. I don't have a chance. Well, men, I got good news for you. The Lord wants to give us a second chance. Thank you, Chester. IBM got a second chance through the gifted leader, Lou Gerstner. Read the book. It's a good book. He wrote it himself. Powerful intellect. Tremendous man. In 3 years, earnings per share went from minus $3.50 to $2.56 earnings. But men, he wants to give every man in this room a second chance with his life. And I have three practical suggestions. First one, of course, is make sure, and just in case you haven't taken the first chance, you haven't taken this first chance. I was with a man this week, right over here, we had lunch. He's been coming here about a year, and he told me privately, he said a couple of months ago, one night I just knelt down in my bedroom, and I said, okay, I believe, Jesus, I believe. Jesus, come into my life and save me. And guess what happened? Jesus saved him. So maybe you've never taken that first chance. And if you haven't, if you're on the fence, I just want to encourage you. Go for it. If you have any questions about it intellectually, pursue them. I did 26 years ago. It took me several months to make sure I understood. I'm not going to commit my life to someone I don't understand. But make sure you take the first chance. Now, for those that have, of us who have taken that first chance, I have three suggestions. Start each day with the Lord. You may not end up right, as a wise old man told me one time, but at least you start right. I mean, even if it's 7 minutes, I'm just so in the ditch. I'm just so preoccupied with trying to make it. I'll never get back there. We'll just start with 7 minutes a day. This little thing is a booby trap. You get going 7 minutes, the next thing you know, you go 15, and then you go 21, you know. Next thing you know, you might spend an hour. You might spend a whole hour with the Lord before you get going. So give him the first cut with your time. And men, your talent. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. How do you want to use me in your kingdom? It's different for each person. And remember, it starts in your own home. The average man in our culture is not ministering to his family. He's waiting for Sunday to let a professional do what he's supposed to do. It's not going to work. That man very often has got all he can do with his own family. Am I right on that? Huh? And he'll show you what he wants you to do. And you don't have to be Billy Graham or anybody like that. You can be you and say, Lord, what is the work you have for me to do? Get your assignment from him. Lord, what is my Nineveh? It may be the guy across the street or the guy in the next office at work. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to go save a whole city, as we're going to find out. And lastly, give to the Lord's work financially. And let me say this. It's been our tradition here to not use this time to talk a lot about money. But if this ministry is meaningful to you, if it's meaningful to you, give to it, please. Please. If it is helping you become the man and the leader that God wants you to be, then please put some money in it. A man wrote me a check this morning, and I know it was a tremendous sacrifice. He paid his golf fee this morning. It was a tremendous sacrifice for him. I think he's right up against the wall. But men, put some money in it. I said some money. Don't put all the money in it. Just put a little bit in it. And, you know, we got a typical 80-20 here in this ministry. 20% of the men are giving 80% of the money. If we could just beat that a little bit, you know, beat it a little bit. Move it up to 23%. Amen? Amen. All right. In 20 years, I haven't talked about it, but it's getting critical. It's getting critical, and I got staff out there that are nervous. I said, don't worry about it. We have jobs. We have men in this room that don't have jobs. And I'm not expecting you to do anything to this ministry. But there are men that can give. And I just ask you to do something. All right? And I'm not going to talk any more about it. Men, he is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger. He's full of love and truth. You know, I saw my son, Joshua, last week for the first time in 5 months. And he and I memorized this verse together. And he's interested. And he said, tell me that again, Dad. I said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, full of love and truth. Can you imagine that? A 17-year-old boy interested in these things, what God could do with him long term. I'm excited about it. And thanks for your prayers on that. Men, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. God is the God of the second chance, and the challenge today is take that chance with him. Take that chance with him. Amen? Amen. Let's have prayer together this morning. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We praise you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving us a second chance. I just pray, Lord. I feel totally unworthy, really, to be here. But I thank you for the privilege you gave me. You gave me the first chance 26 years ago, and you've given me so many second chances to serve. And thank you for giving me the privilege to serve this way publicly. And I thank you for every man here. And I pray that even today, Lord, each man here would make you first in his life with his time, his talent, and his treasure. please forgive me, Lord, if I came on too strong. Help us with this. Help us. We're trying to be good stewards. Help us with this. Each man here, tell us what the right combination is. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.